To wear the kasaya is the noblest and highest virtue. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 328, Zen Buddhism Part 20, in which we will continue reading Shobogenzo. If you would like to start at the beginning of the playlist or check out the Zen Buddhism playlist, there it is. You don't really need to, you don't need to be caught up. These are lectures that Dogen gave, or writings. I always thought of them as like lectures he was giving with someone in the back taking notes, but then when I looked into it a little more, I think most of these are actually writings, but, or maybe writings, but then he read them aloud or memorized them and spoke them aloud. Because I remember there was a footnote on one, or not a modern day footnote, but a footnote at the time where the scribe was saying that, describing the weather, that it was raining and it was 2 a.m. or something like that. But anyway. So anyway, yeah, this is kind of what got me started down the path of reading Buddhist books, as it were, and my collection started with picking up copies of the sutras and things that he was making reference to, and when he would talk about the precepts and different situations that would come up, I didn't even realize that it had to do with this, so Dogen's the one who got me started. Although it was Alan Watts who recommended Dogen, so there you go. Kesa Kudoku, the merit of kasaya. Kesa represents the Sanskrit word kasaya, or Buddhist robe. Oh, I was wondering when they were going to start talking about the robe. Okay. And kudoku means virtue. Or merit. So Kesa Kudoku means the merit of the kasaya. Being a realistic religion, Buddhism reveres our real life. In other words, Buddhism, it seems like the commentators have a point they're always trying to make, that, oh, he's a realist. But of course, Dogen never used the word realism or any Japanese word that translates into realism, so it's an interpretation that they're overlaying on top of it. We'll be done with their commentary soon and we'll get to the actual text. So just hang in there. In other words, Buddhism esteems our real conduct in daily life. Wearing clothes and eating meals are very important parts of Buddhist life. In particular, the kasaya and patra, or Buddhist bowl, are the main symbols of Buddhist life. In this chapter, Master Dogen explains and praises the merit of the kasaya. Okay, now we're going to get to actual Dogen. The authentic transmission into China of the robe and the Dharma, which are authentically transmitted from Buddha to Buddha and from patriarch to patriarch, was done only by the founding patriarch of Sugaku Peak. There's a footnote. Master Bodhidharma. Oh, okay. Good enough. The founding patriarch was 28th patriarch after Shakyamuni Buddha, or Buddha. The transmission having passed 28 times in India from rightful successor to rightful successor. The 28th patriarch went to China in person and became the first patriarch. Bracket parentheses there, and bracket parentheses. So the translators wanted to clarify that. But what Dogen actually said was the 28th patriarch became the first patriarch. So the story goes. The transmission then passed through five Chinese masters and reached Soke. Masters is in bracket parentheses. So he actually just said five Chinese. I don't know, it's hard to sometimes I just read what's in the bracket parentheses, but sometimes I have to kind of, like, well, this was added by the translator. Like, if you want to know what Dogen actually said, he said, the 28th patriarch in India became the first patriarch in China, and then it passed through five Chinese masters. Yeah, obviously. And reached Sokei. Okay, Sokei, Master Daikano, Master Daikon Enno, successor of Master Daimon Konin. Sokei is the name of the mountain where he lived. Okay, good enough. The 33rd patriarch, whom we call the 6th patriarch. Ah, that's the one we read about every other episode of Zen. The 6th patriarch, the Platform Sutra, right? Zen Master Daikon, the 33rd patriarch, received the authentic transmission of this robe and dharma on Obaizan Mountain in the middle of the night, after which he guarded and retained the robe, is in bracket parentheses, throughout his life. It is still deposited at Horenji Temple on Sokeizan Mountain. Many successive generations of emperors devoutly asked, sorry for scraping the microphone with the page, devoutly asked for the robe to be brought to the imperial court, where they served offerings and made prostrations to it, guarding it as a sacred object. The Tang Dynasty emperors, Chuso, Shukuso, and Daiso frequently had the robe brought to the court and offered and served offerings to it. When they requested it, and when they sent it back, they would conscientiously dispatch an imperial emissary and issue an edict. The Emperor Daiso once returned the Buddha robe to Sokeizan Mountain with the following edict. Quote, I now dispatch the great general Ryu Sokei, pacifier of the nation, to receive with courtesy and deliver the robe. I consider it to be a national treasure. Venerable priests, deposited according to the Dharma in its original temple. Let it be solemnly guarded only by monks who have intimately received the fundamental teaching. Never let it fall into neglect. End quote. Truly, better than ruling a 3,000 great thousandfold realm of worlds as countless as the sands of the Ganges, to see and to hear and to serve offerings to the Buddha's robe as the king of a small country where the Buddha's robe is present may be the best life among all good lives lived in life and death. Where in a 3,000-fold world which has been reached by the Buddha's influence could the Kasaya not exist? At the same time, the one who passed on the authentic transmission of the Buddha's Kasaya, having received the face-to-face transmission from rightful successor to rightful successor, is only the ancestral patriarch of Sugaku Peak. The Buddha's Kasaya was not handed down through side lineages. There's a footnote on side lineages, let's see. Bushutsu, literally side, describes a bystander or something of secondary importance. Shutsu means to depart or to sprout. Bushutsu means collateral descendants or collateral lineages. Master Dogen revered the one line which he considered to be authentic, and so to some degree he considered all other lineages of secondary importance. I've read these before, and this footnote doesn't ring true, to be honest. He says collateral lineages. It was not handed down through side lineages. Okay. But when he talks about Buddhism, he talks about stop thinking in terms of this lineage and that lineage. Buddhism is Buddhism. Lord Buddha came and brought this. These are the authentic teachings that, you know, like I went and saw it and I saw, oh, this is crap, this is crap, this is crap. Ah, this is good. So he chose the good one and he learned from that master. But he doesn't really go around talking about side lineages so much. But all right, there's some truth in what the footnote is saying, but I'm done with the footnote. The footnote goes on, if you want the footnote. In the description, you can see this book for free. It's on page 100 of the green one, the first volume. Okay. The transmission to Bodhisattva Bhadrapala, a collateral descendant of the 27th patriarch, duly arrived at Dharma teacher Joel. But there was no authentic transmission of the Buddha's Kasaya. Footnote on Joel. Joel Hoshi died 414 at the age of 31. Dharma teacher was the title used for Buddhist priests, scholars, and teachers of theory. Okay, good enough. Again, the great master Doshin, the fourth patriarch in China, delivered Zen master Huyo of Guzhou-san Mountain, but did not pass on the authentic transmission of the Buddha's Kasaya. So even when the transmission from rightful successors, the Tathagata's right Dharma, whose merit is never empty, confers its wide and great benefit all through thousands of ages and myriads of ages, (at the same time, and (), adding sort of a trippy LSD interpretation of the text in (). Do you think that was Gudo Nishijima or Chodo Cross? I decided to throw that in there. It's like to be aware of what's in () and where it's coming from and if it actually does help the text. Okay, those who have received the transmission, confers its great and wide benefit through the thousands of ages and myriads of ages at the same time. I mean, it's an interpretation and kind of a guess as to what he meant by that. It's sort of like saying, you know, in the past 20 minutes, 100 million hours of YouTube videos have been watched, you know, or whatever. It's like, yeah, at the same time, you know, like if you add up all the minutes of individual eyeballs, you know what I mean? Okay, those who have received the transmission from rightful successors are not to be compared with those who lack the transmission. Therefore, when human beings and gods receive and retain the Kasayas, they should receive the authentic transmission transmitted between Buddhist patriarchs. In India and in China, I know I talk a lot less crap about there's the repetition of the concept of patriarchs and the harping on the authentic transmission is something that normally I would spend time, but I just give him the space to be Dogen. Because I feel like there's more good in this than not good, and I want to give space for the good to come through, but I'm not sitting here like agreeing with the BS, obviously. But anyway, okay, in India and in China, I mean, it's, of course, you know, in India and in China, in the ages of the right Dharma and the imitative Dharma, so imitative Buddhist scholars divided time following the Buddha's death into three periods. Oh, okay, I think I remember this. One, Shobo, right Dharma. In the first 500 years, during which time Buddhism flourished. Two, imitative Dharma, an intermediate period of 1,000 years. Mahayana, I guess, no. Later Dharma, the next 10,000 years during which Buddhism degenerates. Oh, well, that's depressing. All right. Even lay people received and retained the Kasaya. Oh, right. Okay. In the first two eras. In this distant and remote land. Okay, so he's considering himself to be in the disintegration of Buddhism. That's interesting. Is that where I got it? Is that why I'm obsessed with this? Like, did this plant a seed in my brain 15 years ago? Anyway, never mind. In this distant and remote land in the present degenerate age, Those who shave their beard and hair and call themselves the Buddha's disciples do not receive and retain the Kasaya. What about those who don't shave their head and buy themselves a robe and bhutan? Are we? No, I guess I'm part of the degenerated era. They have never believed, known, or clarified that they should receive and retain the Kasaya. It's just that, I mean, gatekeeping is a phrase that comes to mind. But, you know, like, it's your gate to keep, I guess. I'm giving you space to gatekeep, you know, it's fine. I'm trying to do the opposite of gatekeeping here, opening the gates to anybody who's interested. I'm not saying get it through me, saying get it through, you know. Quit watching your TikTok and get some books. You don't have to watch me read them. It's a gateway intended to be like a, like, since you're on YouTube, if you stumble upon this and then get any value in it, and yeah, pick this up. It's free. You can just read it on your screen in the description below. You can leave me out of it. I'm just the fool with the YouTube channel. Okay. Right. They have never believed, known, or clarified that they should receive and retain the Kasaya. It is lamentable. How much less do they know of the Kasaya's material, color, measurements? I have a feeling his idea of the colors is different from the Nyingma, Nagapas. Anyway, how much less do they know how to wear it? I just kind of made this up, by the way. I don't know if you know. Nobody wears a Nagapa shawl like this. Everybody puts on like a white shirt and then just sort of plops this on top of it. I mean, when I say plop, I mean, you know, it's just sort of, nobody does it really exactly the same as anyone else. They just sort of throw it on over the white shirt. But, you know, I was looking at statues of Lord Buddha and sort of was like, okay, I guess maybe it's like this. And then just did that every time I record these for 5 years so far. So, is what it is. The Kasaya has been called, I'm going to have to go with a little bit of noise pollution, just a little bit. Rather than sitting here sweating, because I'm not sure how long this is. I know the ones about the monk's robes do, but kind of go on and on. I have mixed feelings about them. There's two full chapters where he talks about the robe, and it's kind of like, okay. On one hand, it did, you know, eventually inspire me to wear one, you know, for whatever that's worth, for my own reasons. And to give it value, and the way that I kind of treat it and the way that I think of it and you know, go into a certain mode when I'm putting it on is inspired by these particular lectures that Dogen gave. But at the same time, they're a little long and they're a little, like, they do harp a lot on the proper lineage and don't get it from a, you must get it from a master, and but it has to be the right kind of master and not from the wrong lineage. So I guess he does have his... It's a paradox, because he'll say, stop talking about lineages, it's Buddhism, but then he'll say, don't pay attention to those side lineages. So I guess I owe an apology to the footnoter. It's oversimplified. It's representing one half of his paradoxical way of approaching that. But anyway, I'll keep reading. Parts of it are good. You know, if you're here, then you're here, so... where were we? The Kasaya has been called since ancient time the clothing of liberation. It's a footnote. Gedatsu, used here first as a noun and then as a verb, represents the Sanskrit word vimukti, setting at liberty, release, deliverance, final acceptance. Oh, and then the power cut. So just in time for me to not have the AC that I was craving. Okay, well, it's good to let go of craving. Maybe it'll come back. It can liberate us from all hindrances. What? Oh, I see. Okay. That was the same footnote. First as a noun, then as a verb. Liberation and liberate. It can liberate us from all hindrances, such as karmic hindrances, hindrances of affliction, and hindrances of retribution. If a dragon gets a single strand of the kasaya, it escapes the three kinds of heat. That's interesting. The three kinds of heat, kannetsu, the three heats, or the three kinds of burning pain. One explanation is as follows. One, the pain of hot wind and sand being blown against the skin. Two, the pain of violent wind which takes away jeweled clothes and jeweled ornaments. And three, the pain of being eaten by a garuda, a dragon-eating bird. Oh, I forgot they ate dragons. Where's my garuda? He's around here somewhere. Oh, there he is, behind Ganesh. Sorry. If a bull touches a kasaya with one of its horns, its sins will naturally be extinguished. When Buddhas realize the truth, they are always wearing the kasaya. Remember, to wear the kasaya is the noblest and highest virtue. Truly, we have been born in a remote land in the age of the latter Dharma. The age of is bracket parentheses, in the latter Dharma. And we must regret this. He means Japan in the 1200s. It's like, did anybody see that movie? I think it was Woody Allen. Sorry. What is he, the pervert? Anyway, it's Owen Wilson in Paris, and then he time travels back to Paris in the 1920s and meets like famous authors and poets and stuff in the 1920s, and they're all complaining about how they live in the 1920s and not in the 1890s. And how the 1890s was really the time to live in, and he's trying to convince them that, oh, no, the 20s are really what it's about. So, like, if you've ever found yourself wistfully fantasizing about being in 13th century Kyoto, if you were to time travel back to 13th century Kyoto, you'd find Dogen there going, oh, God, can you believe we're in 13th century Kyoto? If only we were in 6th century BCE, Bodh Gaya, or Bihar, India, that's really where it was at. That's this stuff, the Tipitaka. So tune in for the Tipitaka. Never mind, I'll just what we read most of the time here, because Dogen, maybe, I mean, he was a big influence on me, so. And he's always talking about as countless as the sands of the Ganges, meaning the Ganga, the river. It's fun having been to different parts of it. It's, it's a faster, like more intense, the further north you go, obviously, like up into the Himalayas. So in Rishikesh, it's like a bit narrower and faster. And then in Varanasi, it's like wider and, you know. Yeah, we must regret this. But at the same time, how should we measure the joy of meeting the robe and the Dharma, which have been transmitted from Buddha to Buddha, from rightful successor to rightful successor? Which other lineage has authentically transmitted both the robe and the Dharma of Shakyamuni in the manner of our authentic transmission? Okay. Having met them, who could fail to venerate them and serve offerings to them? Even if, each day, we have to discard bodies and lives as countless as the sands of the Ganges, we should serve offerings to them. Indeed, we should... Oh, maybe because of the violence. Is he talking about samurais fighting in the streets? That's fair. I guess, like, these days, you know, people watch the news and see what's going on and just lament, like, oh. Why have I been born in this time when everything's so fucked? And he's, you know, we think of samurais fighting in the streets of Kyoto as like, oh, the good old days, you know. But he's there watching it going, this, you know, what? Why did I have to be born in this? Indeed, we should vow to meet them humbly to receive them upon the head. To serve offer, oh, robes? Anyway. Okay, because they do a thing where they put it on their head. Anyway, to serve offerings to them and to venerate them in every life, in every age. Between us and the country of the Buddha's birth, there are more than 100,000 miles. I think that's a little bit of an exaggeration, but maybe miles was a little bit. Of mountains and oceans. I guess if you trace the edge of the contours of the mountains and oceans. And there's not that many oceans between you and India, sir. I mean, unless you draw the line under China. There is a way you could sail there from where you are. But anyway, and it is too far for us to travel, nevertheless. Promoted by Pat, I guess in the 1200s, it was, yeah, okay. Promoted by Paz pre-Portuguese, like a couple hundred years later, you could just hop on a Portuguese boat and say, hey, could you drop me off in Goa? Yeah. Nevertheless, promoted by past good conduct, we have not been shut out by the mountains and oceans, and we have not been spurned as dullards of a remote land. Having met this right dharma, we should persistently practice it day and night. Having received and retained this kasaya, we should perpetually receive it upon the head in humility and preserve it. How could this only be to have practiced merit? What? How could this only be to have practiced merit under one Buddha or two Buddhas? It may be to have practiced all kinds of merit under Buddhas equal to the sands of the Ganges. That's a lot of Buddhas. Even if the people who receive and retain the kasaya, it's also just, I don't know, I find it interesting to think of that in the 1200s in Kyoto, Master Dogen, who's never been to India, keeps using the phrase, I think because it's in the sutras, maybe we haven't really gotten into the Mahayana sutras, but maybe they say as many as the sand of the Ganges often, but it's a phrase that he's picked up. Even if the people who receive and retain the kasaya are ourselves, that part was in bracket parentheses, even if ourselves, is what it says, we should venerate them and we should rejoice. We should heartily repay the profound benevolence of the ancestral master in transmitting the Dharma. Even animals repay kindness. So how could human beings fail to recognize kindness? If we failed to recognize kindness, we might be more stupid than animals. The merits of the Buddha robe and this Dharma robe are never clarified or known by anyone other than the ancestral master who transmitted the Buddha's right Dharma. If we want to follow gladly the traces of the Buddhas, we should just be glad about this. Bracket parentheses, transmission. Glad about this. They assume he means transmission. Okay, fair enough. Even after 100,000 myriads of generations, we should esteem this authentic transmission as the authentic transmission. This transmission, may be the Buddha Dharma itself. The proof in due course will become evident. We should not liken the transmission to the dilution of milk with water. Okay. He didn't make it up, but relayed to us this idea that Buddhism was really at its peak before Jesus, you know, and then for 1,000 years it was imitating that, and then now he's in the first 200 years of the decaying era. And so I guess I was thinking of it in terms of the dilution of milk, but he's saying not to. So I was like, oh, that makes me feel better about the thing you said 2 pages ago. Okay. All right, process is happening. That's good. It is like a crown prince succeeding to the throne. When we want to use milk, if there is no milk other than this diluted milk described above, although it is diluted milk, we should use it. Is it or is it not diluted milk? Even when we do not dilute it with water, we must not use oil, we must not use lacquer, and we must not use wine. This authentic transmission may also be like that. Even a mediocre follower of an ordinary master providing the authentic transmission is present, may be in a good situation to use milk. What are you talking about? But more to the point, yes, please, the authentic transmission comes from Buddha to Buddha and from patriarch to patriarch, is like the succession of a crown prince. Even secular teaching says, quote, one does not wear clothing different from the official uniform of the previous reign, end quote. All right. How could disciples of the Buddha wear robes different from the Buddha's robe? I don't know. I think you can wear what you like. But, well, who am I to talk? I'm falling for this propaganda and wearing a robe. In the literal sense. Since the 10th year of the Eihei era, isn't Eihei your name? That's 67 AD. All right. What? During the reign of Emperor Komei, oh, okay, that kind of thing, of the later Han Dynasty, monks and laymen going back and forth between the western heavens and the eastern lands, between India and China, have followed on each other's heels without cease, but none has claimed to have met in the western heavens an ancestral master of the authentic transmission from Buddha to Buddha and from patriarch to patriarch. None has a record of the lineage of the face-to-face transmission from the Tathagata. They have only followed teachers of sutras and commentaries and brought back Sanskrit books of sutras and philosophy. None speaks of having met an ancestral master who is a rightful successor to the Buddha's Dharma, and none mentions that there are ancestral masters who have received the transmission of the Buddha's Kasaya. You mean you're the only one harping on about this? Sorry. Clearly, they have not entered beyond the threshold of the Buddha's Dharma. I'm pretty sure that cartoon Spock might find a logical fallacy in there, but nonetheless, with respect, I'll keep reading. Clearly, they have not entered beyond the threshold of the Buddha's Dharma. Clearly, yeah. People like this have not clarified the principle of the authentic transmission by Buddhist patriarchs. When Shakyamuni Tathagata passed to Mahakasyapa, the right Dharma eye treasury and the supreme state of Bodhi, he transmitted them together with a Kasaya received in the authentic transmission from Kasyapa Buddha. Received by rightful successor, from rightful successor, the Kasaya reached Zen Master Dai Khan of Soke Zon Mountain, the 33rd generation. The material, color, and measurements of the Kasaya had been transmitted intimately. Since then, the Dharma descendants of Seigen and Nangaku have intimately transmitted the Dharma, wearing the Dharma of the ancestral patriarchs and keeping the Dharma of the ancestral patriarchs in order. The method of washing, bracket parentheses, the Kasaya, and bracket parentheses, and the method of receiving and retaining the Kasaya cannot be known without learning and practice in the inner sanctum of the legitimate face-to-face transmission of those methods. You drive up Chogham Road to Highway 66 and then turn left in order to end up going right, and then you go past the marketplace and then turn left and then right and you go to Prince Dry Cleaners. No, that's not. I'll just. Here's what he says. That's not what he says. That's sort of making a joke. That's how I clean my room. Okay, so this is in italics. So, I don't know why. The Kasaya is said to include three robes. They are the five-stripe robe, the seven-stripe robe, and the large robe of nine or more stripes. Okay. Excellent practitioners receive only three robes and do not keep other robes. Okay. To use just the three robes serves the body well enough. When we are attending to business or doing chores, and when we are going to and from the toilet, we wear the five-stripe robe. For doing good practices among the Sangha, we wear the seven-stripe robe. To teach human beings and gods, and to make them devout, we should wear the large robe of nine or more stripes. Or, when we are in a private place, we wear the five-stripe robe. When we go among the Sangha, we wear the seven-stripe robe. And when we go into a royal palace or into towns and villages, we should wear the large robe. Or, when it is nice and warm, we wear the five-stripe robe. When it is cold, we put on the seven-stripe robe as well. and when the cold is severe, we also put on the large robe. Once in ancient times, the weather on a midwinter night was cold enough to split bamboo. As that night fell, the Tathagata put on the five-stripe robe. As the night passed and it got colder, he put on the seven-stripe robe as well. Later on in the night, when the coldness reached its peak, he also put on the large robe. At this time, the Buddha thought, quote, "In future ages, when the cold is beyond endurance, good sons should be able to clothe their bodies adequately with these three robes." End quote. Okay, there was a footnote. This paragraph is quoted from Dai Jogi Sho. Okay, so Dogen didn't say that he was quoting it. He just quoted it, and then the translators are clarifying that he quoted it. Okay, the method of wearing the kasaya. To bear only the right shoulder is the usual method. There is a method of wearing the kasaya so that it goes over both shoulders, a form followed by the Tathagata and veterans. You wouldn't know it from his statues. And veterans who are senior in years and experience, both shoulders are covered, while the chest may be either exposed or covered. How do you cover your shoulders and expose your chest? That seems like something at Met Gala. The method of covering both shoulders is for a large kasaya of 60 or more stripes. Oh, I guess if it's just like a cape or something, and then you just let it hang, I don't know. 60 or more stripes, what? Usually, when we wear the kasaya, we wear both sides over the left arm and shoulder. The front edge goes toward the left side of the kasaya and hangs over the left upper arm. No idea what to visualize here. In the case of the large kasaya, this front edge passes over the left shoulder and hangs down behind the back. There are various methods of wearing the kasaya besides these. We should take time to research them and should inquire into them. For hundreds of years, through one dynasty after another, Liang, Chen, Sui, Tang, or Tong, and Sung, and many scholars of both the large and the small vehicles have abandoned the work of lecturing on sutras, recognizing that it is not the ultimate, and progressed to learn the authentically transmitted Dharma of the Buddhist patriarchs. When they do so, they inevitably shed their former shabby robes and receive and retain the authentically transmitted kasaya of the Buddhist patriarchs. This is indeed the abandonment of the false and the return to the true. In discussing the right dharma of the Tathagata, we see the Western heavens as the very root of the dharma. Many teachers of human beings, past and present, have established small views based on the sentimental and parochial thinking of the common man. Because the world of Buddha and the world of living beings are beyond being limited and being unlimited. I like that. I like that. Like, just hang on to that one for a second. Okay, let me read that again real quick. Because the world of Buddha and the world of living beings are beyond being limited and being unlimited, the teachings, practice, and human truths of the Mahayana and the Hinayana can never fit inside the narrow thoughts of common men today. I like that at least he's giving respect to the original teachings of Lord Buddha, even though calling them Hinayana or small vehicle, which is the Mahayana way to call them, sort of like calling all of Judaism the Old Testament from the Christian perspective, sort of, vaguely. It's just, yeah, it's Hinayana to you, it's Buddhism to the Hinayana, right? Nevertheless, common men in China, acting at random, have failed to see the Western heavens as the root and have considered their newly devised, limited, small views to be the Buddha Dharma. Such facts should never occur. Therefore, if people today who have established the mind want to receive and to retain the kasaya, They must receive and retain the kasaya of the authentic transmission. They must not receive and retain the kasaya newly created according to the idea of the moment. The kasaya of the authentic transmission means the one that has been authentically transmitted from Shaolin temple in bracket parentheses and Soke bracket parentheses mountain. Master Bodhidharma lived at Shaolin temple. Master Daikon Enno lived on Soke mountain. He's the sixth patriarch. I didn't realize how often his name was being as good they were reading him. We'll read that again in episode 332. Keep reading that. The one that has been received by the Tathagata's rightful successors without missing a single generation. The kasaya worn by their Dharma children and their Dharma grandchildren is the traditional kasaya. What has been newly created in China is not traditional. Now, the kasaya worn by the monks who have come from the Western heavens in the past and present are all worn as the kasaya authentically transmitted by the Buddhist patriarchs. Not one of these monks has worn a kasaya like the new kasaya being produced in China today by precept scholars. Dull people believe in the kasaya of precepts scholars. Those who are clear, precepts are what we read when we're reading that. That's the Vinaya Pitaka. So we're precept scholars in training. Those who are clear throw such robes away. Okay. In general, the merit of the kasaya transmitted from Buddha to Buddha and from patriarch to patriarch is evident and easy to believe in. Its authentic transmission has been received exactly. Its original form has been handed down personally, and it exists really in the present. The Buddhist patriarchs have received and retained it and succeeded to each other's dharma until today. The ancestral masters who have received and retained the kasaya are all masters and disciples who experienced the state of and received the transmission of dharma, the state. Experience the state, shokai. Sho means to experience, kai means to agree or to fit. Shokai means to experience the same state as the Buddha. Okay, good enough. To experience the state. This being so, we should make the kasaya properly, according to the method for making the kasaya which has been authentically transmitted by the Buddhist patriarchs. This alone is the authentic tradition, and so it has long been experienced and recognized by all common and sacred beings, human beings and gods, and dragons and spirits. Having been born to meet the spread of this Dharma, if we cover our body with the kasaya only once, receiving it and retaining it for just a kasana or a muhurta, a what? Measurements of time in India. Okay. According to one explanation, 64 kasana pass in the clicking of the fingers, and 30 muhurta pass in a day. Okay, so a muhurta is like an hour, and a kasana, 64 in the clicking of a finger. That's very short. That's like shorter than one frame of this video. Anyway, that experience will surely serve as a talisman to protect us. Yeah, see, this is kind of where I was like, wow, so if you just put on a robe, and then later it talks about a prostitute who put on a nun's robe as a joke, and then she attained enlightenment three lifetimes later. Anyway, to protect us in the realization of the supreme state of Bodhi, when we die the body and mind with a single phrase or a single verse, it becomes a seed of everlasting brightness. Die as in D-Y-E, when you die the mind with a verse. That's really interesting. The body and mind. The single verse. Form is emptiness and emptiness is form. It changes the color of your aura, you know, something. It becomes a seed of everlasting brightness, which finally leads us to the supreme state of Bodhi. When we die the body and mind with one real dharma or one good deed, it may be also like this. Mental images arise and vanish. Can you imagine Martin Luther? No! Not by works alone, by faith alone. No, never mind. It's mixing weird things. Mental images arise and vanish instantaneously. They are without an abode. The physical body also arises and vanishes instantaneously. It too is without an abode. Nevertheless, the merit that we practice always has its time of ripening and shedding. The kasaya, similarly, is beyond elaboration and beyond non-elaboration. See, like, I think that's maybe where I get that whole, you know, I'll put up a spectrum and say on this end there's this and on this end there's this, but I'm not on that spectrum, you know. Yeah, it's beyond simple binaries. It's good. Like authentic and inauthentic transmission of lineage? No, not that binary. Where were we? Nevertheless, the merit that we practice always has its time of ripening and shedding. The kasaya, similarly, is beyond elaboration and beyond non-elaboration. It is beyond having an abode and beyond having no abode. It is that which Buddhas alone, together with Buddhas, perfectly realize. That was in italics with a footnote. The Lotus Sutra says that Buddhas alone, together with Buddhas, can perfectly realize that all dharmas are real form. Master Dogen is emphasizing that the kasaya is instantaneous and real, therefore beyond understanding. Okay. Nevertheless, practitioners who receive and retain the kasaya will always accomplish the merit that is thus to be gained, and they always arrive at the ultimate. Those without past good conduct, even if they pass through one life, two lives, or countless lives, can never meet the kasaya, can never wear the kasaya, can never believe in the kasaya, and can never clearly know the kasaya. In China and Japan today, we see that there are those who have had the opportunity to clothe their body once in the kasaya, and there are those who have not. The difference, in bracket parentheses, depends neither upon high or low status, nor upon stupidity or wisdom. Clearly, it was determined by past good conduct. Clearly. This being so, if we have received and retained the kasaya, we should feel glad about our past good conduct and should not doubt the accumulation of merit and the piling up of virtue. If we have not got the kasaya yet, we should hope to get it. We should strive without delay to sow the first seeds of receiving and retaining the kasaya in this life. Those who are prevented by some hindrance from receiving and retaining the kasaya should repent and confess before the Buddha Tathagatas and the three treasures of Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. How living beings in other countries must wish, quote, if only the robe and the Dharma of the Tathagata had been authentically transmitted and were intimately present in our country as they are in China. End quote. Their shame must be deep and their sadness tinged with resentment that the authentic transmission has not passed into their own country. Why are we so fortunate as to have met the Dharma in which the robe and the Dharma of the Tathagata, the world-honored one, have been authentically transmitted? It is the influence of the great merit of prana nurtured in the past. In the present corrupt age of the latter Dharma, late-stage capitalism, late-stage Christianity, what? No. The latter Dharma, the 1200s in Kyoto, latter Dharma. Kali Yuga's been around for like, what, half a million years? No, 5,000, 6,000? When did Krishna pass away? With the passing of Krishna, they say. That was when Kali Yuga began. Some are not ashamed. Where were we? In the present age of the latter Dharma, some are not ashamed that they themselves have no authentic transmission, and they envy others who possess the authentic transmission. I don't think that describes me. I think that they may be a band of demons. Maybe that describes me. Their present possessions and abodes, which are influenced by their former conduct, are not true and real. Just to devote themselves to and to venerate the authentically transmitted Buddha Dharma, this may be their real refuge in learning the state of Buddha. In sum, remember that the kasaya is the object of the Buddha's veneration and devotion. It is the body of the Buddha and the mind of the Buddha. We call it the clothing of liberation, the robe of a field of happiness, the robe without form. The Supreme, from how he was talking, I assumed that we were getting toward the end of this. That was a silly assumption that I made. I'm going to go ahead and call it. We're going to finish this next time. And actually, I don't know if we're going to finish it next time because there's a lot left yet to read. So normally I like to read the whole lecture in one episode. But as I mentioned, yeah, the robe ones, it goes on quite a lot. And then there's another one just about the robe. So it's very important for him. But I'm going to go ahead and finish this paragraph and then we're going to close for today. And we'll get back to the robe in 338, in a month or so. The supreme robe, the robe of endurance, the robe of the Tathagata, the robe of great benevolence and great compassion, the robe which is a banner of excellence, and the robe of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi, supreme, unsurpassed, perfect enlightenment, or something like that. We should receive and retain it like this, humbly receiving it upon the head. Because it is like this, we should never change it according to our own mind. Well, you know, the authority with which Master Dogen speaks of these things, combined with my respect for him, which is probably disproportionate. I mean, it's out of proportion. I mean, I respect him too much. So it causes alchemy in me. It has caused alchemy in the past, which combined with, you've heard me talk about Kes Fry. He has a robe that he wears in private when he is doing his meditations and devotions and things. And one time when I asked him if he would teach me, he put it on, and kind of, I saw how he, you know, I mean, from my years in Golden Dawn, when I put on my magical robe back in those days, it changes. Becoming BT is different from just being Edward or going out and being Gwydion, you know, whatever, however you want to look at it and put it. That's just my terms. And ever since that day with Kes, I had it in mind that one day I wanted to wear a Dharma robe. And I had already at that time, I had read and thought about these words, these specific words that I just read to you, had already been floating in my mind for a few years and before I saw Kes wearing his robe. And then, when I was in Bhutan and they said, this is the breastplate of Padmasambhava that he left with Tashi when he was in the Himalayas and invited me to touch it. You know, I don't know if it's really Padmasambhava's breastplate, and even if it is, what is there in touching a breastplate? You know, it was behind cloth to keep it. But yeah, at that Nyingma place, let me just show some pictures. I didn't take pictures inside the temple, obviously, but after that, I told Sharing, that I wanted a robe like the Nyingma monks wear. And so he brought me to a place where they, you know, where I got it, this one. And they measured it out for me and they wore it the way that people, normal Nagapas wear it. And then I put it in a drawer for 3 years and then eventually decided to wear it. Start recording Buddhist Books podcast. So there it is. Thus we've arrived at today, in which I'm reading that same thing again at the beginning of that whole cycle. So I don't know, it's just an interesting process, this one, thinking about and opening up about, being honest about what my robe means to me, you know, like without that full context, it may seem odd. Like, what? So why do you wear? Oh yeah, because I'm a monk by theft, as they call me in the Tipitaka. That's a monk who wears the robe but has not been ordained. But yeah, it's been a long time since those days of pre-sectarian early Buddhism. I don't know. I've seen a lot of these side lineages, you might say, enough to where I don't have the patience or the time, or to be honest, the interest in seeking out a lineage that I want to say is real or not. And so I would much rather just, you know, perhaps arrogantly, say that I will wear the Dharma robe, but not yours, not yours, not his, not his. But I will do my practice as it was passed to me by my father, and find the gems and the pearls, the ratna, within the advice and teachings and examples that strike me as something that I should recognize as true or as good, and even to consider the ones that aren't true for a time and to decide for myself that they're untrue, you know. Yeah, part of that, on whatever level, involves reading these scriptures aloud on the internet. Silly, yes. Unusual, yes, perhaps. I don't know. But it is what it is. And so I follow the process without a goal, without a destination in mind. And yeah, may my robe be true, even though it's not, even though I'm not wearing it correctly for the kind of robe that it is, even though it's technically a shawl and not a robe, but I've made it into a robe. And it is worn in the manner, as he described, like the those from India. He was saying basically that people who come from India, kind of whether they're Buddhist or not, he didn't exactly say that, but you know, nobody talks about being an authentic lineage holder, you know, among the Buddhists in India. Because that's not that important, Mr. Dogen. But, you know, it's okay. It's his way. And the irony of, yeah, how Zen may very well have been a thing that developed in China. And he's saying it should be authentic transmission from ancient India, like Zen, not like this stuff they make up in China. Well, you know, I don't know. I don't mean any disrespect by my comments, but yeah, no, I deeply love Dogen and his teachings, in spite of the things that I disagree with as a human being living in 2026, or as a thinking, rational person. But anyway, I look forward to next time. This isn't something I'm like, oh, when are we going to finish reading about the robe? Like, no. It's going to be a month, like I said, before we pick up where we left off in the middle of that, and then it might take three episodes, this three-eighths, before we finish just this lecture, and then there's another one about Romans. So, okay. If you're here, I hope you enjoyed it, and, you know, blessings. Do the usual closing here. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Oh.